My wife would like that sometimes. Could you show her how to do that? I wanted to mention this as we start, that we would love to give back here. And we wrote a book, I Do or I Don't. And Brother Bert mentioned something about that. And then this one on encouragement. And if you would be so kind as to choose one of these two books and come up to us, I'd like to sign it for you. And then that's your gift from us to you. Choose one or the other. If you've already bought one of these, then you get two for the price of one. So just choose the other one that you didn't buy. But either way, just letting you know that. Do that after this session or the next one or throughout the day. We would love to offer that to you. Goal of communication. And of course, in each one of these, I always like to ask a couple questions. So what should be the goal of communication? Let's ask that question first. What's the goal of communication? Okay, understanding. What was else? Unity. Unity.
Building up in Christ.
Okay, good. Building up in Christ. What? How can the golden rule help us in our communication? If we're trying to build up, communicate, understand, how can that golden rule help us?
We should speak to the others how we would want to be spoken.
Awesome. We want to speak to others like we want to be spoken. Remember that one. And then the third question. Oh, it didn't go there. Okay. So those two questions there, let's remember those as this kind of a startup, and hopefully then this will be helpful as we get into this idea. So you have in your notes, this is going to be the goal of communication notes, and then the next session is conflict resolution and forgiveness. Well, I did both of those separately, so to speak, and then when I put them together and sent them to Bert, I realized that I have the same notes in the first part of goal of communication and the same notes in the conflict resolution. So I think it'll work out really well because of our time and working through this. And a second thing I thought I'd like to do this morning here is there are a lot of scripture passages today that I think would be so helpful for us to read. I know last night I just kind of read the major ones and we kept on moving because we were trying to put two sessions into one. And so if you'd be willing, I'd just start right up here and read across, and then you'll start to you, and we'll read across, and I'll identify the verse. But I think in your notes you have all those verses, don't you? Do you not? They should all be in there. I thought that would be a neat way to just really see what God's word says, and then you don't have to hear my voice the whole time. You can hear different ones of you that you probably recognize a lot better. When we think of communication, like we just talked about here, we think of what we want to communicate to somebody else. What does that mean? Well, the big definition would be transferring what I know, understand, and feel into the understanding and awareness and feelings of the other person. Definitions of men's clean the room and definition of women's clean the room. I clean the room. You're not going to break your arm walking through it. I clean the room. You can pick up the little mats on the table and everything's clean. Two different definitions. So when you communicate, it's very important that we are following, in a sense you could say, rules of communication. What are so important there? And so we're going to be using Ephesians 4 initially, but in each one of the main points there, being honest, keeping current, attacking the problem, not the person, and acting and not reacting, is all coming from Ephesians 4. But then some of the fill-ins will be other passages. And I thought that would be helpful to think about. Of course, we know that communication is what can go south, and we can have conflicts. And what helps you get back on track? Communication. And so don't avoid, well, we tried that before, so it just, you know, I remember what happened the last time we talked about this. But I would encourage you, following some of these rules of communication, so to speak, I believe you can, even in frustration, even in disappointment, even in discouragement, even in anger. All right, what does God want me to do? I need to return to where we were. So let's think, first of all, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. So I thought if I could ask you, Caleb, to read, and then we'll just kind of go through each one of these verses that's identified here. Go ahead, please.
Ephesians are speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ.
All right, thank you. So the first, you could say, rule of communication is we have to, in this case here, be honest. And you'd think, well, I don't typically intentionally lie. But being honest means more than just not lying. First of all, if you would read James 5:12.
But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation.
All right, thank you. So that is the term, or we're using that as our speak. You can't just be silent and communicate. Now, I realize at times you could say, well, I could read your body language, and you weren't too happy with me. But still, there was not any verbal communication. So here, specifically, is speak. You have to speak. All right, so let's remember that rule. In communication, you have to speak. And then, Kristen, if you would read Ephesians 4:15, just A, the part that he just read before, but just the first half. Okay, we'll stop the in love. Speaking the truth, thank you. I didn't communicate that very well. No. Speaking the truth. Again, we don't typically choose to lie. Sometimes we could choose to try to defend ourselves or build our case. So you wouldn't say you're really lying, but you're only saying, they're just saying half the truth. You're saying the part that builds your case. So we have to speak the truth. All right. And then if you could just read those last two words there, Justin.
Good love.
Yes, you got it. That, as we all know, is the hardest part of speaking the truth. And we want to make sure that we're honest. But in being honest, let's make sure we speak the truth in love, in kindness. So let that be kind of a first rule. And so I have there, lovingly speak the truth. In fact, in the Greek, I won't say it in Greek, but in the Greek, it actually, they reverse how they say it, and they say truthing in love. So they're saying the truth, and it's in a loving manner. That's the phrase we keep together. All right, thank you. So now we see that one of the rules of communication is going to be honest. Speak the truth in love. Now, if we could, let's look at Ephesians 4, using that same passage. And Nicole, if you could read verse 26 and 27 of Ephesians 4 to build the case there.
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil.
So when we talk about keeping current, similar to what Pastor asked the question last night, how do we make sure we resolve this before we go to sleep at night? Keeping current. So, of course, there, the verse, be angry and sin not, and it's easy to think, boy, how does that happen? Well, it does happen, and we'll talk about verse 29 a little bit later, but it happens when we let our anger direct us to a solution. And we don't want our anger to create sin. So we're, in a sense, having all of our issues settled. In a sense, you could say, I put down the night before. In other words, I guess we talked about this a little bit last night. Before your head hits the pillow, make sure any time and or every time that you happen to have been angry that day and sinned, said things wrong, acted wrongly, created a conflict because of what was taking place in the communication, you resolve that. Or even, as I shared, you make an appointment for you to resolve it later, if you didn't have a chance to resolve that. I thought of one more of an example is sometimes it's 3 p.m. and the husband's going to work. And how can he stay around and resolve the issue? So you say, okay, well, and 11:30 at night's not going to be the time. Walk in the door from 8 hours of work and resolve it. So you say, well, let's work on it the next free moment we have. So at least you've resolved when you're going to resolve it. Speaking the truth. So keeping current, having all the issues settled, only discuss what is pertinent to today. We'll look at forgiveness officially at the end of next session. But if you truly have forgiven, then truly from the moment you forgave, you do not anymore have that as a memory, or you choose not to bring it up, and it's no longer there. So I forgave you for forgetting to bring the milk home yesterday. You did it. Oh, no, not again. You did it today. So I'm going to confront you about today. If we're not following God's word like that, we will just carry a boatload of things with us all the way through. I didn't give myself my slide here. So you're keeping current. Those are supposed to imply the current things of the day. So I have fun with these PowerPoints. Consider now what is pertinent to our issue today. What happened today? You forgot this. You failed to do this. You did this. You whatever. Well, if that's the case, then we resolve what happened today. Often in a marriage counseling situation, by the time a couple has come for marriage counseling, and almost like Bert's question last night was, what if there's been failure for a long time, what do we do with that? I like to use the illustration, you have a hurt list. You bring up the hurt list. But remember what Matthew 18 says is you bring this up so you can what? Restore. That means when I bring this up to you, I'm already ready to forgive you. I'm not bringing it up to make you feel bad. I'm bringing it up because I really want to forgive you because I want to restore. All right. So that's keeping current with that. So be angry and sin not. And then don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Find a time to resolve it before your head hits the pillow, or find a time in the future that you're going to address that issue. So you know it's going to be resolved. You know it's going to be taken care of. So being angry and sinning not is tough. But what helps us too is let's look at these next set of verses, and I think this will even add to that. So if I can, let's see, we started on this side. Can we start over here with Kelly? All right. And so we're going to look at Proverbs 18, 13, and 15. They're both kind of similar verses, but if you could read both of those. Thank you. So do I have all the facts? And sometimes right away, that's where we can have a conflict is we have our impression. And what's that statement? You know, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. But in this case, the impression was made. I was disappointed. I was discouraged. I was mad. I was angry. I was disappointed. I was sad. But in keeping current, let's just ask to make sure we know all the facts. And like you said there, we're not going to make an answer until we hear the whole matter. And then let's go on. I can't see the word letter. Lizzie. Okay, if you would read, maybe for old people, we should have gotten these in 24 font or something like that. No. If you could, Proverbs 27:6, just that's the only one we would read. All right. Speaking the truth in love, telling someone a specific statement helps you to realize, why am I bringing this up? You know, am I bringing this up to make you feel bad? Or am I bringing this up to help you? So, silly illustration, you walk out of the house and you have toothpaste on the side of your mouth. I'm not going to tell him. Oh, I don't want to tell him. That'll make him feel bad. No, he'll feel bad all day. By the end of the day, if he comes home and that toothpaste was there the whole day. You would have been a friend to speak the truth. You would have been a friend to confront. Better in the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. The kisses of an enemy are like, oh, you look great. You're going to look fantastic. Well, that wasn't going to help him at all. He needed that truth. All right, then, got to get the name though. Josh. Okay. The next one was Matthew 7, 1 through 5. How have I dealt with my responsibility? No, I was going to skip Matthew 12. Sorry. I was just going to do one of each section. Were you at Matthew 12? No, that's fine. Sorry. My communication skills are not. All right.
Judge not that you be not judged. For you with the judgment you're promised, you will be judged. And with the measure you will use, it will be measured for you.
Yep.
Speck.
Speck.
That is yep. Brother's eyes. But do not notice the log that is in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take this speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. For the first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly that the speck in your brother's eye out. See clearly that the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs that is holy.
Just verse 5. Thanks. Okay. So think about that. It's giving the example, using today's vernacular, it's using the example of a telephone pole sticking out of your eye, and he has just a little splinter in his, and you're going to look at his splinter and forget about the beam or the telephone pole that's sticking out of yours. And so the idea is, have I dealt with my responsibility? Okay, so you come into a conflict, come into a situation, and you're going to discuss this. I got to get this resolved. Have I taken care of my responsibility? What part of this disagreement, discouragement, disappointment did I contribute to? Might have only been 5%, but did I seek to resolve my part? It might have been 95%. It might have been almost the whole bit. Am I realizing that I need to take care of that? So thank you. That was a long, long passage, but thank you for doing that. Now, to the point, we've already read 4:15. Would you read Proverbs 15:1? Thank you. A soft answer, and you know what happens in a discussion, a heated discussion. If we're not careful, the louder our spouse or the other individual in the discussion is, the louder I get. And it really is an amazing thing to softly begin to talk, and you bring that down. An illustration that comes to my mind, and I've had it for a long time. I was driving, we had a vehicle. I was driving from helping someone to go to a wedding. So I'm driving down the road, and I'm sure I was slightly distracted or not thinking clearly or just driving. And I was driving a pickup truck, and the other fellow was coming from the other side, and he had a pickup truck, and sometimes they have mirrors that are sticking out. Praise the Lord, that's all we did. But we hit mirrors going opposite directions. And whether it was my fault or his fault, I didn't really know, and that's not the main point. But I stopped. I pulled off to the side. He stopped, and a little distance. We came to each other, and did he ever start yelling at me? And I thought, Proverbs 15:1. So I just began to say quietly, I am sorry. I am sure that whatever I did caused this issue, and it was just amazing. He was yelling and screaming, and he suddenly came and said, yeah, you're probably right. I'm sure I was probably close to the middle too. And it was just like, that was a scriptural principle, and just... Anyway, my little illustration of that. So remember that. Am I loving in how I talk? Or am I just trying to get my way? Being loving helps us a lot in our keeping current. All right, so across to this way. Trudy, thank you. Would you read Proverbs 25:11? Yeah, sorry, you were at 15. Oh, 15:29 is fine too. Okay, he's going to hear you. It's right now. God, help me right now. Proverbs 25:11 goes on. That's our message for tomorrow. So we'll just save that one verse, although that's the proverb of word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Is this timely? God, help me with this moment. And then let's go to this side here. You who played the guitar, what's your name?
Hannah.
Okay, would you read... Proverbs 3:5-6, or you could maybe even quote it, but have I prayed about bringing this up? Thank you. In all your ways, think about in all my ways and all my words, am I bringing them before the Lord specifically so that I am being God in the flesh as much as I can? Bringing this up and prayed about this. I think our discussions could be so different at times. Instead of our emotions starting us, if our prayers would start us. Lord, help me as I confront my wife about this. Help me as I confront my husband about this. Help me as I bring up this issue. Whatever it is. Should I bring it up now, Lord? Should I wait? Should I bring it up in this? It's amazing how that can help us in our discussion. So be honest. Keep current. And then attack the problem, not the person. And this would be Ephesians 4. And so, Anna, if you could read Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. Thank you. So the first part of that verse is talking about doing something, but not doing something. You know, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. You're initially as hurt or as angry or as frustrated as you can be for a variety of reasons. Well, let's make sure that the first reaction we have is, oh, wait. I'm not going to let corrupt talk come out of my mouth. And I was going to mention, that's one of the most telling verses when we talk about be angry and sin not. What do we often do when we get angry? We let a word slip or words slip from our mouth. Whether it's slanderous, whether it's gossiping, whether it's derogatory. So be angry and don't sin. If you could just be angry and shut up. That's the laymanism. Be angry and shut up. I think it would help so much. So let no corrupting talk come out of our mouth. And then what it says there at the end, in that second verse, we can be guarded of that, only what builds up. But then the next part is, don't say anything that would displease the Holy Spirit. So if you didn't get the message the first time, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Oh, wait. I want to only say what would please the Holy Spirit. How would he want me to talk? And that's what I'm going to do in the next session. I'm going to replace this section with 1 Corinthians 13 and talk through how those words can, how those actions can really help us in our relationship. All right, so Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. So don't use words that tear down. Only use words that build up. I think it's one of the best ways to not tear down is to only speak kindness, only speak love, only speak helpfulness. Now remember, this all kind of goes together because you have to think about, oh wait, but I'm supposed to speak the truth in love. I have to get to the issue. I can't be so loving that I'm not truthful. I can't be so truthful that I'm not loving. I have to mix and match, bring all that together. So that's why we say act, don't react. Think of some of these do not use words that tear down. Do not only use words that build up. So think about what you're saying. If it's bringing up, if it's building them up, then use them. If it's tearing them down, you can't. You kind of have to set your own rules. And God really helps us to set that. And I think this next section here is, so attack the problem, not the person. And then finally, act, don't react. So let's read, Hannah read there. So Caleb, is that right? Cody, sorry. All right, Cody, if you would read Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. So think about all of those let nots and lets. You know, let not and lets. So think about those aspects there. He talks specifically about bitterness. And bitterness, a statement I read once said, bitterness is poison that you drink hoping to kill your enemy. You can be as bitter as you want, and it doesn't affect the other person. But boy, does it affect you. And we've been there before. And I say we. Wrath. That anger that has happened and then it just keeps overriding and overriding and overwhelming. And then, of course, just the anger, the first part of the anger, my first reaction, my first emotion is saying, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger. We want to put this off. Clamor is just kind of continuing the conversation. Keep reminding yourself of how bad that issue was, that situation was, that person was, that comment was, whatever it is that happened. Slander is then telling other people about it. I have a prayer request. And then you bring up the whole thing. You know you're just trying to make that person look bad. Slander. And then malice is with the intent, I'm going to get even. So, acting, not reacting. So the reacting we're getting rid of is the bitterness and the wrath, the anger, the clamor, slander, and malice. One of the best ways to get rid of those is not to try really hard not to be bitter, not to try really hard not to get angry. But let's do the second verse. Let's work really hard at kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. And if you will be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving, you're not going to be bitter and wrathful and angry and clamorous and slanderous and malicious. It's the if then. If you do this, then this. If you're kind and tenderhearted and forgiving, you're not going to get angry. You're not going to get even. You're going to start to resolve this whole issue. Well, if you're bitter and wrathful and slanderous, you're not going to resolve. And so thinking of all four of those together, I kind of sometimes will call that like a conference table. I would encourage you to find a place in your home or a place in your yard, or you choose, that this is where we're going to go when we're going to discuss this issue, this dilemma, this misunderstanding, this argument, whatever it is that's going on. And that way, instead of just, I mean, you're big people, you're adults, you can do whatever you want to. But instead of just at any moment, you're vacuuming, I want to talk to you about this. Those are probably not the times to talk about it. Supper's not ready. Well, I still wanted to talk. Make sure it's like, well, you know what? After supper, let's go to our spot, our conference table, whatever it might be. Let's just sit down and let's discuss this. You have these rules in front of you. Let's say, okay, we have to be honest. We're going to speak the truth lovingly. If you start to yell, if you start to clam up, we're not getting anywhere. So we have to follow these rules. And none of us are in your home, and you don't want us in your home, but there's no referee in the home. But you have the Holy Spirit. You have the best referee there. And so just literally think of it. Am I being honest? Am I speaking the truth in love? Okay. Then keeping current. Are we talking about everything that happened since the last time we forgave, or bringing up stuff from way back? Because you're smart enough that you could bring up stuff from way back. But you're also godly enough that you can choose not to bring it up. And we'll talk about forgiveness again, like I said later, but forgiveness is literally choosing not to bring up what the issue was. You cannot forgive and forget. I know that's a nice slang, nice slogan. Forgive and forget. Could God, the omniscient, omnipotent, forget our sins? Nope. Can he choose to forgive us and not bring him up? Yes. And that's what Ephesians 4:32 says, forgive like Christ forgave. So we keep current, attack the problem, not the person. You still, that's breaking a rule. We can't do that. And then act, don't react. I don't know, I'll just use this as an example. I don't know, you've probably had a laid floor before, like tile, or maybe you can use a board, something like that. And I would encourage you to kind of, you know, since there's no referees in your home, the Holy Spirit, but you, if one of you starts to break the rule, that wasn't truthful. That's not keeping current. Either, while you're discussing, just stand up. Don't say, you messed up again. Just stand up. Oh, that's a rule we've already determined means someone broke the rule. Or have a floor tile. And hold up your floor tile that says, that means I have the floor. It's my job, my turn to talk. Anyway, find something And you might use other little things that would help you with that. But keep those rules. I really believe it will help you tremendously to begin that resolution. Now, where do we get these foundations? Of course, we get these foundations from our Bible, from God's Word. So let's see, where were we in our life? Your turn, thank you. And your name?
Jade.
Jade, Jade, love it. Okay, Jade, would you now read Proverbs 10, 11 through 14?
The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near.
Thanks. Notice how God specifically, well, Solomon, of course, specifically, through God's inspiration, tells us how we should talk, communicate, share, however you want to discuss that. So think about the foundation for our communication is God's word, not getting my way. And too often we think my communication is so that my side is heard. You understand what I'm going through, all the tough things that I've gone through. No, my job is to be what God tells me to be. Proverbs 10 there. All right, so God has a lot to say about words. Let's move down to Elise. All right. Elise, if you would read Proverbs 11, 9. Notice how words can be very powerful there. And I know we could read all those passages. And I think Brother Bert mentioned this last night. It's neat to have all these verses you can go back to and read and reread. Forget about what I say. Remember what God says. And it makes all the difference in the world. Would you be willing to bring me a cup of water? I'm sorry. Do we have one, Suze? Thanks. That question last night about how you can help your husband. Here you go. Share your water with him. Thank you. Okay. So thank you. Words are powerful there. Words are valuable. And Susie, can you read Proverbs 20, verse 15? If you have that. And then a neat verse, knowledgeable words are a rare treasure. Make sure you're speaking what you should be saying. Words can be very valuable. Thank you. And then let's jump across to Bert. Can you read Proverbs 6:12? The source of our words makes a lot of difference. Who says it? What do they say? By opening your mouth, you let people know if you're wise or a fool. Make sure your goal is to help them with whatever situation they're in. So our foundation for our communication is, of course, God's word, what it says to us. Now let's look at some communication guidelines, some things we want to be doing when we're communicating. And so come across to Liz and Proverbs 18:13. Think about that. Make sure you get the whole story. And I know this will probably come up in our parenting discussions too, but you want to make sure you know the entire reason for why you're disciplining. Really, who did wrong? Really, was that both or just one? Whatever the case may be, know the whole story, so to speak, there. Proverbs 10:19. And I know you're brother Sam's sister. What's your name again?
Suzanne.
Okay, great.
In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. For he who restrains his lips is wise.
Okay, so don't talk too much. Make sure your goal is restitution, reconciliation, returning to where you were before this dilemma, helping them with that. And then across here, sir, John, very good. And would you read Proverbs 21:19? Okay, thank you. Don't consider your circumstances so much so that you forget how important it is to have resolution, reconciliation, and being able to help each other in that. So what I thought I'd do right now, this is not really halfway, but I thought I'd open it up to some questions for this specific session. Since we don't really have a Q&A at the end, I just didn't know if there were any questions that arose or not. Anybody from this communication? And then we'll start up with don't meddle. If we don't have any questions, we'll start or we'll start from there. Anybody, any questions? Yes, ma'am. Would you be saying that as a parent or as a spouse? Okay, all right, that's a very good question. Some of that is going to come about while you discuss your past. You know, why, you know, maybe this is totally hypothetical. I only want to read from the King James Version. Well, I don't mind reading from any Bible that's been translated from the Greek. Okay, so is one right or wrong? I think it's preference. Now, I know some people would say you can only be saved if you've read the 1611 King James. You can't be saved from any other version. Well, then we know that's not right. But if I prefer 1611 King James, and I prefer ESV, and then New Translation, and then whatever, that's great. When it's sin, you have to stop. You have to make a decision. When it's preference, I don't think you can. Maybe there's another silly illustration, you know, how you roll your tube of toothpaste. Some people, you know, just squeeze it in the middle, and when it's two-thirds of it done, it's all wrangled, and you say, I can't get any more out of it. And then someone else, how do they do theirs? They roll it really carefully. You can get these little things that cut in the side, and they roll it up, so you get every ounce out, and then you take a scissors, and you cut it, and you take all the rest of the toothpaste out. Is one right or one wrong? Oh, you're looking at Sam? Okay, whatever he says is right. No. You get my point. Just get two tubes of toothpaste. You squeeze to your heart's content and throw it away. You roll yours to your heart's content and then throw it away. Sometimes we do let things like that cause us an ire. And we grow up in different homes. We cannot help. No one's ever been able to choose their parents. No one's ever been able to choose the way they brought you up. And they brought me up rolling my tube of toothpaste. So they brought me up, squeeze it in the middle, or whatever. Neither one's right, neither one's wrong. I think it's when you can go at odds over it, that's when we want to make that decision. Did that explain enough? That's a great question, and it's an important one, because we're going to have those discussions for the rest of your life, with your husband, with your spouse, whatever. So, very good. Someone else, another question or comment about that? Yes, John. Thank you. It's interesting. If you can go back to the Ephesians 4, speak the truth in love. You can't be silent and speak the truth. Another one I'd throw in there too is about emotions. If one is crying uncontrollably or just so lividly mad, those not speaking, crying, being angry are definitely reasons you cannot communicate. So those would be the best times to say, hey, I know you're so mad at me because I've done something really stupid and I deserve your anger, but I really want to restore. Or you're clammed up and that's your mechanism because you're just not going to blow up. Well, that's in a sense good, but it's not good because you're not going to restore. So you say, let's pause. Let's wait till you can talk, or let's wait till you can stop crying, or let's wait till you can stop having this, your fists clenched, and then we'll discuss it. I think that would be the best way to do. Instead of getting, come on, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. Of course, what does that do? It just adds to the aggravation. So thank you for asking that. Yeah, it definitely is neat though. Do you always go back to scripture? I'm not mad at you because you're not talking to me. I think God wants us to speak the truth in love. So good. Thank you for asking that. That's a good one. Yes, sir. Jade, yes.
So can you speak on, like, a lot of the communication that we've talked about is restoring, like, when there's problems, but what about just, like, business decisions?
Oh.
Because quite a few of us, I know, are self-employed and do businesses with our spouses. How do you go about that kind of communication?
That's great, too. Both of you have your own opinions, and you both have valid opinions, and you both have wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but I've always loved my own opinion. I always thought it was the best. And then when I am confronted with another opinion, if I'm not careful, I don't choose to listen to that opinion. So one of the neatest things to do there is think, okay, what would God want me to do in a setting like this? His opinion's smart, my opinion's smart. He's not any lesser because he thinks that way. I'm not any greater because I think this way. I really think if you follow these rules and you say, okay, we would like to purchase this business, or we'd like to begin this process, whatever it may be. All right, let's discuss it. What do we want to do? We want to accomplish this. We want to go into business for ourselves. We want to be able to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so you find the reason you're doing this business. All right, now how do we want to go about it? And I think if you're speaking the truth in love, let's leave all other issues out. You know, you're always late. You're never on time. You're whatever. No, leave all that out. We're going to talk about this. Keeping current. What's the problem? I don't want to start yet. I want to start now. Okay, what the problem is, we disagree. And that's not bad. Conflicts are not bad because you can resolve them. When conflicts are bad is when you don't resolve them. And so we attack the problem, not the person. And then as we discuss, I think we say, okay, that's your opinion. This is my opinion. Well, let's take a 3-day and let's pray about that. Come back in 3 days. And sometimes it even happens where this opinion changes to yours and your opinion changes to his. And that's another problem to have. How do we, and I think it's just, I think if you follow, of course, I'm not saying because these are John's rules. These are not John's rules. These are really God's rules. I think if you can follow this, I believe the Lord's going to give you wisdom. So that's a great, great question. Good. All right. Well, let's keep communicating, but let's take a break and we'll come back at 10:30 and we'll start with session 2.